Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. We are in the book of Judges. If you can catch up with us at any time by going to WVFFradio.com, catching past episodes in which you will hear things that are in black and white in this Bible that you haven't heard in church because they don't know about them. They've not read the book. They're teaching what they were taught to teach. You know, the original church of Jesus Christ was infiltrated by Satan back in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. And what is left of that morphed into what is the Catholic Church now. A shell of what Christ originally set up through his apostles into idolatry and all sorts of things. Even during the Dark Ages, they were in anachronism, necromancy, all sorts of horrible things. It all amounts to religion. You know, Jesus Christ came to create a spiritual connection between God and mankind, the intercessor. You know, so you would never need a priest again. Mm-hmm. Pray directly to God. And religion changed that. Religion is man's interpretation of what should happen between man and God. God hates religion. So, catch up with us on our former episodes. You're going to find out this is not the first time this world has been here. God flooded it twice already, at least. There's evidence of two floods here, one in which he put out the sun, and eons passed before you turn to Genesis, and it says earth was void and without form, just like it says in Jeremiah, and God said, let there be light, for at least a second time. There were two children in the Eve, in Eve's womb, in the garden, two different fathers, the seed of the serpent, the seed of Adam. There were two creations. There were two creations of mankind. On the sixth day, God created male and female. Created he them. And said to replenish the earth. Look at what replenish means. It doesn't mean go out and populate the earth. It means go out and put back the human beings that used to be there. The Adamic line was never meant to procreate. That was God's anointed priest that would tend his garden. You know, God created man on the sixth day. Rested on the seventh day. We don't know how much time went by. Could have been thousands of years. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't specify. I haven't been able to find an amount of time between the seventh day and when God said, oh, there's no man to till the garden. Wait a minute, God, you created man on the sixth day. There's no man to till the garden. And this account of creation is different than the last. The last one on the sixth day said God created man, male and female. Created he them in our image. But
their name,
yeah. Well, yeah, and then, yeah, and then he rested on the seventh day. Then an amount of time went by, and he said, "Oh, there's no man to till the garden." So then it says, God took dust of the earth, created Adam, created them male and female, and called their name Adam. Their name. Read every word in this book. And we know that Adam tended his garden for we don't know how long again, an unspecified amount of time. Could have been hundreds of years before he decided. Well, it was a long time. Adam explored everything, named every animal on the earth. That took quite a while right there. And God decided he needed a helpmate, and he took a rib from Adam, put him in a deep sleep, not just a sleep. He didn't just sleep overnight, and Eve was there. It's about 13 years, and he presented a full-grown woman to him. Might have been 30 years. But he presented a full-grown woman to him when he awoke. The thing is, there are things in this Bible you haven't been told, but they're here in black and white. Come and enjoy the amazing information that's in this Bible. You got to put your mind in the right set. You have the mind right mindset. You have to agree before you come with us that what you've heard is fine. But if we can show you in black and white that something's not exactly the way you were taught, are you going to believe the preacher who was taught something by another man? Or are you going to believe the actual Word of God right there in front of you as we show it to you? And I tell you, if you understand it and you read it and you accept it, it ties science and God's Word together in a bind that you cannot dispute it. The former world is where the dinosaurs were at. Yeah, I mean, Job 40 says, consider the behemoth, has a tail like a cedar. You know, he's talking about a dinosaur. And and God says, consider the behemoth, which I created with you. I truly believe the book of Job is a transcribe from the first world. But that's neither here nor there. It's just between the lines. There was, when God put out the sun, when he flooded the earth for at least the first time in Jeremiah, he put out the sun. And he says, I know in my anger one day will subside and I will start again. And it says the earth was void and without form. Waters covered the deep. And you turn to Genesis and said the earth was void and without form. And God said, let there be light for at least the second time. There is more to this. And the fact that this earth is millions of years old, those fossils accounts do not lie. Modern science has learned how to date them, and they date them generally pretty correctly. Yes, millions of years old. And yes, there are humans from way back then, and there are dinosaurs from way back then. But this new world that we're in, the Adamic line has been here for roughly 9,000 years. Everything ties together when you read the whole book, and when you read between the lines. So, we're into Judges. That means that Abraham's line has been created. God gave a covenant to Abraham, and it was not the Ten Commandments. That one is plain as day in here. That's what you've heard in church all your life. Oh, the old covenant, the Ten Commandments, and the Levitical law. No. Abraham was given a covenant by God. It says, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And the three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they lived under that, and they were able to do it. And they had complete freedom. Even their sons lived under that and were able to pretty much do it. We start seeing the further they get from the three major patriarchs that their ability to follow God depreciates. And then we go to Egypt. And it's because God had other covenants in this book. He says, I'm dealing with these people in Canaan. And once they have transgressed the covenant I have with them, once they have transgressed to the point where I can no longer work with them, then I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and put you there. It took 400 years. God left no one behind. Oh, well, the Jews are God's people. No, the Jews are God's, the priest line, the Adamic line. Adam and Eve was put in the garden to tend the garden, God's holy place, his temple on earth. That's what Jeremiah says. The cities were torn down. The earth was flooded. Everyone was dead. And the beautiful place was a wilderness. My God said after the seventh day, oh, there's no one to tend my garden. I got it all back. I put humanity back. I put the animals back. I put the sea creatures back. There's no one left. There's no one to tend my garden. Why not one of those other people? Because they were not the specially formed ones. That I took dust of the earth and breathed the life of God into it. The priest line was never meant to procreate. That's why when we get into the garden and the serpent, that cherub, that ancient cherub who had revolted and was thrown to earth in the first world and aided in the destruction of the first world, king of Tyre, destroyer of worlds, that was him. Ay, ay, ay. So much in here that you don't get from just reading one time through. You got to read it over and over and over and over. The Adamic line was never meant to procreate. They were put there to commune with God in his temple in the Garden of Eden. And when they fell, God said, on the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. And when it actually happened, as God does many times in this book, he relented and repented that he had said that, and he wished that he hadn't said that, and he took an innocent animal and sacrificed it in their place and covered them. Thus began the Adamic line, and Seth, the second child of Adam, because Cain wasn't his. After Abel was killed, the Bible says, and Adam had another son, and this one was in his image. Those little clues. This one was in his image. You ever had a friend and their girlfriend, or the girlfriend or their wife has a baby, and said, all the whispers, does it look like him?
Yeah, that's
that. It's because Cain was not his. Cain was the firstborn of the seed of the serpent. You ever wonder why in the garden, when God is passing out judgment, that he says to the woman, he says to the serpent, you know, her seed and your seed, there will be enmity between her seed and your seed. Your seed will bruise his heel, and her seed will bruise your head. Do you ever wonder where the seed of the serpent came from? Right there, the same womb. Two children in the womb, two different fathers. And we have all been fighting this spiritual battle ever since. And we all now have a mixture of both seeds in us that we must overcome. This is a testing ground. God says, I place the spirit in the heart because the mind is contrary to the will of God and the flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to take control of the mind and to guide this flesh to follow God with all the heart. It's all about the heart. God doesn't want your money. If he has your heart, he has your time. If he has your time, he will guide you in all the directions that he wants you to go. So the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They showed God that they could not follow him with all their heart. So he piled on this binding law. All right, you can't do it the easy way. We're going to do it the hard way. Now I'm going to make it so you're not unclean just because of disobedience. You know, there's only one sin in this Bible. Oh, there's many sins in there, Pastor Dave. No, there's one sin. Disobedience to God. In other words, God said, thou shalt not murder. It didn't say thou shalt not kill. It's an incorrect translation. I'm not afraid to say that because I know it. I've taken it back to the Hebrew. God says kill for many reasons. If God says thou shalt not kill, and then you turn the page, he says, kill this man if he does this. Stone this man if he does this. Burn this woman with fire if she does this. Then God is a liar. God doesn't lie. It's thou shalt not murder. The innocent human being was never meant to be killed. He should have never died. Had they not done what they did in the garden, the innocent human being would never have died. But if you're guilty of transgressing against God, disobedience of God, there is a death sentence under the law. The law is bondage and death and separation from God. He wants to get back to the original covenant of follow me with all your heart. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He said, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. One is the spirit man gaining control of this body and following God. The other is an outwardly worldly expression to your neighbor saying, oh, that man's a Christian. He's been baptized. So we've come out of Egypt. They couldn't follow God with all their heart, so he piled on this law to bind them. Now they're not only guilty of the major transgressions, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not worship other gods. They're not only guilty of all those things. You can touch a doorknob now that an unclean person has touched, and you're guilty. You're sinful. You can sit on a couch that a woman in her period has sat on recently, and you're guilty. You're sinful. You can pick up a handful of dirt that has a dead ant in it. Now you're dirty. you're sinful. There's no way to stay clean under the law. The law is bondage, and it was put there as a stumbling block to the children of Israel to teach them that the freedom of God through the heart is the only thing that matters. And the Messiah would come one day and restore the freedom through follow me with all your heart. And I tell you, Christian, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you hold on to this law, you're telling him what he done just isn't good enough. Yeah, I know, Lord, but I have to appear holy to my friends. I got to keep Sunday. We got nothing on Sunday. We cook on Saturday. Make sure Sunday is kept holy. Put on our best clothes. We don't walk very far. You have no idea what you're trying to keep. You know, you can only go 1,000 paces on the Sabbath. I bet you didn't realize that while you're agreeing not to help your neighbor on Sunday. And, you know, Sunday's not even the Sabbath. Saturday is. That day you went fishing? I'm transgressing God's law all day long. You know, it's religion, and God doesn't like it. And God sent Jesus Christ here to fulfill it once and for all. Did he take it away for those who accept him? Yes, he took it away. For those who do not accept him, you will live and die under the law and be judged by the law one day. So we come out of Egypt. We have the law piled on us. Moses battles with these unbelieving children. Finally gets them to the border of Canaan. Can't go in because in his weariness, he didn't follow God's commands exactly. Turns it over to Joshua. Joshua brings them in. Moses, God, and Joshua said, wipe this land clean of all the inhabitants. I mean, multiple times God said it. Moses wrote it in his book of remembrance. Joshua told them on the way in, everybody has to go. If you leave them here, you'll be cursed. If you get rid of them, if they all leave this land, you will have blessings for generations and generations. The first three tribes decide they're going to make servants of the inhabitants in their area. And the other tribes see that and say, oh, that's a good idea. We all have free servants now. Excellent idea, Judah. Thank you. All it done was brought strife. It was disobedience. The only sin in this Bible, disobedience by other names. Murder, theft, lying. It's all disobedience. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Am I coveting? Is that my sin? No. Disobedience to God, because he said don't do it. God said put these people out of the land. They didn't do it. Disobedience to God. And the analogy here, Christian, is that if there is sin in your life and you leave it there, you'll be cursed. You pay for your sins in this life. Oh, Jesus paid for all of my sins. Yes, he did. Your spiritual sins. When you stand before God one day, he'll stand next to you. And he'll say, I covered this one. My sacrifice covered this one. But if you sin in this life, your body will pay. Jesus said to the man he healed, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Sickness in this life is a result of sin. Any illness you've ever had, search what you have been, how you've been living, and how things are going with you and your spiritual life. You'll find out that that's why you're sick. Modern medicine does not fight against viruses and biology. It fights against spiritual darkness and principalities, because it's their job to make you sick when you are sinful and disobedient from God. They will never conquer the spirit world. All they'll do is mask your symptoms and make you sicker. So we had two shepherds. We had Moses and then Joshua. And the children left the people in Canaan. Joshua died, and we're into the age of the judge. The judge is not a shepherd because the people are dispersed over hundreds of miles now. The judge is one who champions Israel. When there's a problem, the judge will arise. God will arise a judge when there's serious problems. When there are really no problems in the world, in their world at that time, they will pick their own judge. And you see that that doesn't amount, and that only leads to cancer, because that judge basically just lives and dies and does nothing. And when the cancer gets too big, God will arise a judge to put it out. But every time a judge dies, these people go crazy. A new generation. It's like the judges last about a generation. Sometimes a couple judges during a generation. And then the next generation, when the judge dies, they go do whatever they want. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That's how a lot of these chapters begin in Judges. Because the judge had just died in the chapter before. And then the children of Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord. The judge is dead. We're party time. Mm-hmm. Do whatever we want.
And then, not to mention the last two ones, they went on and killed the two guys in lineage that saved them.
Yep. And to wipe out the memory of that judge. Not only does the generation that sees what the judge does through God's power does not teach the next generation like we have done in America, this new generation that's getting ready to take over and is taking over our political body now knows nothing of God. Read the book of Judges. You'll see analogies between them and us now. So we're up to, and we have also discovered in the book of Judges, that the male lines in Israel have no power, no strength, no actual intelligence either. They're so far from God, they don't know God's law. And they can't make good decisions. And God has relied on many, many women to this point at chapter 14 to shame them. Put women judges in charge. Women to go to battle in certain ways. To take the glory away from the men, because the men are not the men that they used to be. You know, we talk about the great generation here. Mm-hmm. The men now are not like the great generation.
No.
Well, these Israelites, their men are not like the great generation that came in with Joshua and Caleb and took the land. So we're at chapter 14. Samson has just been born. The Israelites have been under the Philistines for 40 years because after the last judge died, they threw a big old party. They did whatever they wanted. They worshipped other gods. They were very, very disobedient to God. And it said God sold them into their hands. Chapter 14, book of Judges. And Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Okay, let's have a little bit of a recap. The angel came to Samson's mother and said, drink no strong drink, eat no unclean food. You will have a son. He will be a Nazarite from the womb. No razor will touch his head, no strong drink in his lips. He will be God's man in flesh, as perfect as can be, and in spirit, I will put the spirit in him. So this is the first time after verse 25 in chapter 13, and the spirit of the Lord began to move in Samson at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So the Spirit of God has come upon him, and this is the first time we see him as an adult. Chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnah, saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. What did God say? What did Moses say? What did Joshua say? Don't take them for your sons' wives. Do not give your daughters to them for wives. Don't mingle with them. And this is the Nazarite judge being raised up here. And you see that he commands his mother and father. He doesn't ask them. Get thee. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Get going, Dad. And his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? At least they're arguing with him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like the, hey, can you make us an idol? Yeah. Sure, bring me some gold.
Yeah, bring me some gold, Aaron. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me. That's rebellious right there. Mm-hmm. Let's say, honor thy mother and father, for she pleaseth me well. Disrespecter of his mother and father. Oh, Samson, you're off on the wrong foot already, buddy. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Ah, what have we seen many, many times, Jonathan? Mm-hmm. That God does things that appear to be
completely out of line.
Completely out of character.
Out of character, lateness, yeah.
Yeah, causes people to do things out of character.
Does what he wants.
Yes, it's like after the plagues in Egypt. Pharaoh hardened his heart. No, God. It says God hardened his heart. You know how many times it says that in here? God hardened that man's heart, this woman's heart, that guy's heart for a purpose. Well, he put some lust in Samson for a purpose. Wasn't the fact that she was just a hoochie mama. He puts God, directly from God. You know what? God is in charge of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. He's in charge of it all. Oh, he doesn't do evil. He sends spirits to do evil. You'll see when Saul's king, an evil spirit from the Lord was sent to Saul. This here, a lustful spirit from the Lord was sent to Samson. And he commanded his parents to go and get this woman for him.
Even though his parents were arguing with him.
Yes. Yep. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyard of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.